Rutgers.edu.
Welcome back to 90.3 The Core. My name is Mark and you're on the starting block. It's about 19 after 9 o'clock on Monday the 26th, which is happy Cyber Monday, Frank. I don't know if you're going to plan on doing any shopping today.
Oh yeah, thanks for reminding me. I have a bunch of stuff I have to get, right. Mostly for myself.
Right, yeah, I did the same thing. I was up out, unfortunately, after midnight, and I made sure to capitalize on the Black or the Cyber Monday sales. Well, you heard in that PSA about you know, if you're in need of help, where to go. We also, with related to academic work, if you're in need of maybe more serious help, specifically related to drug rehabilitation services, I think Frank Greenagle here in the studio today could be of service, along with his colleagues that work with the recovery housing program here at Rutgers, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But Frank has been a recovery counselor for quite some time. He's a recovery counselor with Counseling ADAP and Psychiatric Services. Did I get that correct?
It's ADAP, but...
Oh, ADAP. Yeah. And Psychiatric Services. And like I mentioned as well, represents the recovery housing program here at Rutgers. During the break, you gave me a lot of really sort of alarming statistics about, you know, the rise in opiate use and just and how it's being used among young people. And when we talked earlier before the break over the air about, you know, the various factors and reasons why we would see an uptick in usage. But so I want to talk about, you know, now about specifically the recovery housing program. You come to campus, you're young, you're, you know, an 18, 19-year-old student, and you have an addiction problem, or you acquire addiction while in school after enrolling here at Rutgers. What exactly does the recovery housing program allow you to do, and what services are you offering for the students?
So Rutgers, we're the first school in the country to have recovery housing, which we established in 1988. And we were the second school in the country to have services for people who had drug and alcohol problems, like specifically. And that was in 1983. And that was under Lisa Lateman, who is still here and is my boss and is extraordinarily easy person to work for. So we have housing on two houses here on one of the campuses here in New Brunswick, tucked away. And one holds 25 people, the other hold 13. And people have to interview with me. And I talk to any kind of treatment providers they've had before they came to Rutgers. And it's probably about half and half. Half our students are Rutgers students who got into trouble. Maybe they left for a semester. Maybe they were able to work something out and not have to leave for a semester. And the others are actually coming from either inside New Jersey or out of state to come here specifically for our program. And so...
So then I'm assuming that, you know, being the first in the area or being the first or second in the country, we're not, so in other areas in Pennsylvania, surrounding states, they don't have similar services. So is this unique to Rutgers, this type of program?
Oh, like I said, we were the first one in the country, really the first one in the world. There's a couple schools in Minnesota that have this program. Ohio State would like to, Penn State would like to, Michigan's trying right now, Duke is trying right now. Brown has a program. Case Western in Ohio has a program, there's probably about a dozen with housing, and one of the things we really want to see is ideally we'd like to see every state have a recovery high school and a recovery college, and I think it makes much more sense for state schools. So I think it makes a lot of sense for Oregon State, Ohio State, you know, some of the Florida universities. I think it becomes much more difficult when you have private colleges and small populations. Rutgers, we're really ideally situated because we're a centrally located state school with 58,000 students, and so we can. Because any program you create, you're going to need to maintain, you know, the number of people in there. So with the specifics of housing, when I came here, I had one student, only one student in 2009 had an opiate problem. In the fall of 2011, it was 8 of 32. And the fall of this year, it was 15 of 35. And so, I mean, and I just keep seeing this number. It's just changing. It's just so different now. And that's not to take away the problems that other substances cause. It's just that this has taken over. So I have students that live in recovery housing. They're sober anywhere from 90 days to 6 years. The average sobriety time is 2 years. That means no drugs, no alcohol. And people say, well, what
about they're like, staying? And they're staying in the house for six, sober in the house for 6 years?
No.
Okay.
So they come here and they might live on campus. They might live in housing for, I'd say the average... average person comes in and lives here for 2 years on campus and the recovery housing. But to get move in, they have to have been sober at least 90 days. And I think the most amount of time someone currently has in the house is 6 years, which is quite a long time. If you're 24 years old, you haven't no drugs, no alcohol from 18 to 24. They all attend either AA or NA. They have access to counseling at the counseling center, which all students at Rutgers have access to the counseling center. And here in New Brunswick, it's 17 Senior Street, which is across from the College Avenue gym. And students might say, well, is it anonymous? Is it, you know, do I have to pay for it? If you paid a health service fee, you've already paid for it. And so, you know, people should take advantage of it. I had a drill sergeant said that the only thing you turned down was his collar. So the fact that the idea that if you've already paid for something, you really should consider accessing services. And, you know, people, some of your listeners may have a drug or alcohol problem this morning. I mean, there's a number of them that are just dealing with other kinds of stress, whether it's stress.
Sure, the counseling service is not just for substance abuse problems. You could go there for, you know, we just played a PSA for, you know, stress related to academics. Or just, you know, the stress of transitioning from life in as a high school student to life
to
in college.
Or stress about your future, stress about sexual identity, stress about relationships. There's so many reasons to get counseling from a neutral third party who
Are those issues also found, do you see, in addition to the substance abuse program, are those students in the recovery housing program also dealing with similar issues of stress, academics?
Oh, yeah, they're the same as, like, any other kids. And so it's just, but the nice thing is that they've taken care of, like I'm not dealing with people, you know, using or relapsing. Our relapse rates are extraordinarily low, and so they're able to focus on other things. And in the last three semesters, the recovery housing has averaged a 3.23 GPA, and so it's better than other Rutgers organizations.
That's great.
That's a big culture change.
Do you have a sense of what is it about that program that you think keeps the relapse rate so low?
If students got sober and lived on regular dorms, they have about a 20% chance.
And right, so, that was the 1 in 5 statistic we mentioned earlier from the Targa market.
Yeah, and they got that one right. With the recovery housing programs around the country, it's about a 4 in 5 chance. So just by living with other people who are in recovery, you have about an 80% chance. At Rutgers, we're at 95%. And it's kind of like, think about, if you've ever worked out or if you've gone on a diet or tried to do something different, it's much more difficult if you're doing it by yourself. You don't have anyone to talk to deal with kind of the stresses and the frustrations to stay motivated. I've always worked out much better when I have a workout partner. And for the last 6 years, my workout partner has been my wife. So I've had the transition from working out with guys to working out with a girl. But
you're not the first person to say that. I think, you know, just having someone, well, from a workout perspective, having someone there to motivate you is obviously a benefit. I mean, you go to any gym, people working in tandems or
It's just so helpful because, you know, at like 10 a.m., she might say to me, like, do you want to go to the gym tonight? I'm like, I just want to sit here. And but because there's someone else there, like, it makes it easier. So with the idea of recovery,
Which could be very similar to the rigor needed to work out as well. I'm sure it requires physical and mental strength. So having that motivating partner, I'm sure is helpful.
You absolutely nailed it. And it's just so much easier to do these things if you see somebody else doing, if you have somebody else going through it with you. And then it's the thing about role modeling. So we have a quarter of our students are true freshmen. Like, they got sober in high school or before college, and I think it's so great for an 18-year-old who's sober 8 months to be able to see a 24-year-old senior who's been sober 3.5 years, and how that senior is getting up earlier. They have like a summer job, and they have internships, and they're going out on and they're going out to speak and do different things. And it's so much easier to become something if you see somebody else doing it. And so we get this great communal support. And the thing that makes me so proud about recovery housing is that these students, every single week, we are either at another college, a high school, an inpatient treatment center, or an outpatient treatment center where the students tell their stories. And, you know, because I can go, I do a very good job on presentations and teaching about things, but it's not the, you know, me coming in there at 36 years old and telling people about the, you know, the dangers of the drugs and these are the problems that happen and these are the things that are the benefits if you get sober, it's not nearly the same as having a 19-year-old come in who says, hey, I've been sober 2 years and yes, I'm able to have fun on a college campus without feeling weird and these are the things, you know, these are the things I'm doing for the summer and these are the internships and this is what I have going on. And it's just such a great thing that they do. So it's not only about saving their lives, but they then go out and they touch so many other people. So it really, really is inspiring.
What is the... So it seems like there's a lot of empathy and, you know, and shared motivation between the residents of the house. What is the atmosphere like in the actual recovery house? Describe to me the spirit, the relationships between the students. Do you see, I'm assuming it's successful or going well given the amount of success you've had, but what is that like for people who may be listening right now or thinking they may need a similar service either here at Rutgers or somewhere else in the area? There probably is some hesitation. It's like going into a recovery housing program. Is it similar to rehabilitation clinics that you see even now advertised on television? What is the sense of the community?
It's a tremendous amount of fun and camaraderie. And I think if someone is in the midst, if they're in the throes of their addiction, it's very hard to imagine life. It's very hard to imagine life with or without drugs or alcohol. And so often I hear people say, well, what the hell am I going to do for fun? You know, what is there to do now? What am I going to do on a Friday, Saturday night? I'm just going to be this weird, weird, defeated, gray, ashen person. And I think the thing that's stunning is that how happy and active the people in recovery are. I mean, they're doing things. And so, you know, so often people get high or drunk on a Friday, Saturday night and say, I'm going to go do this, this, and this, and then never get to do it, where our students go on they go on long hiking trips, and we have an alumni who is an alumnus who is motorcycling around Europe for 5 months. He quit his job as an engineer, and he said, "I want to take 3 months vacation." They said no, so he quit, and he's driving around the country, driving around Europe, and he'll be able to come back. And so there's all these neat people that are doing really, really, you know, neat things, and so it's a really exciting atmosphere. And sometimes it seems like you wouldn't know, unless you thought about, hey, I don't see any drugs or alcohol here, you wouldn't think about it. People are up late. They're freaking out about finals. They watch way too much TV. They spend too much time playing video games. So they get an enormous amount of takeouts, and the buildings are messy. It's not really a good advertisement for, families or policymakers out there.
But the point being that it's an atmosphere not unlike what you would see of normal students in normal dorms. I mean, it's
minus the drugs and alcohol,
yeah,
right?
Minus the drugs and alcohol. Frank, thank you so much for being here. Unfortunately, we are out of time for the interview. I know you wanted to talk about some more macro and political issues, but we will absolutely have you back on the show to discuss a lot more. I think your description here of the Recovering Housing Program has been really inspiring for me. If you're listening and are in need of services or know of someone in services, where can they contact you, Frank, or where can they contact
If they're on campus, you can dial 732-932-7884. There's a website. If you just Google Rutgers CAPS, C-A-P-S, that'll get you to the counseling center. Or you can just walk in, and it's on 17 Senior Street. And again, if you are a student, whether full-time or part-time, and you have paid your health services fee, you have access to individual counseling, group counseling, if need, psychiatric evaluation to, test people for if they need medication or if they have their medication reevaluated, which I think is always a great thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Frank Greenagle, a recovery counselor at ADAP and Psychiatric Services, also representing the Recovery Housing Program here at Rutgers. Thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to talking to you again. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're listening to 90.3 The Core. We are going to play one of Frank's requests, so here's Jeff the Brotherhood.